This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. It is a full show that we've got for you here. And I want to play this clip here from Brett Hume first.
Listen. With countries like Japan and India, which are of some size and importance, I think might calm the markets. The concern, of course, is you've got China reaching out to trading partners, many of them the same as ours, and saying, don't you be making any deals that are against our interests with the United States. And the United States, in the meantime, of course, is saying, no, you want to work with us. We're the big enchilada here, and you can't afford to be without us. Now, there are a lot of people who think that the U.S. can win that kind of competition with China.
So Brett Hume is talking about the tariffs, the trade deals, everything Donald Trump has been doing in less than 100 days to reshape the system, the way that America government serves the American people, protects the American people, and prioritizes the American people. And yeah, with the tariffs, we see a little bit of pain on the way to hopefully what the president says is going to be some gains. I want to talk to our next guest here. Jason Chaffetz joins us once again, a Fox News contributor and author of the brand new book, They're Coming for You, How Deep State Spies, NGOs, and Woke Corporations Plan to Push You Out of the Economy. Jason Chaffetz, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you here.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Of course. I want to get your thoughts. As somebody who has served in Congress and the House of Representatives and chaired important committees and seen the inner workings of what some people call the swamp, you are very familiar with it. Your top line thoughts on the president's less than 100 days in his second term, how much he's transforming the way American government serves the American people.
Well, look, and nobody is keeping the pace the way the president does. Look, he won on several different issues. One of the top ones was in immigration. I mean, the way the president was able to almost instantaneously lock down that border has been, I mean, it's just been absolutely fantastic. And then you have to, you know, you have the issues of the Democrats, you know, running to the courts as quickly as possible to try to tie up the president in his ability to deport the people. And that's a whole nother issue. The economy, I think, is getting much better. You're not going to fix it all in 3 weeks. But look, the price of eggs is down. Inflation is down. Gas prices are coming down. The DOGE is rooting out the waste, fraud, and abuse. I mean, people have to understand that nearly one out of every $5 that's spent in our country is spent by the federal government. So the reason that we have so much inflation, or had it, it's because we have this massive government spending. And already the president has trimmed that back. You've had Elon Musk and others highlighting the waste, the fraud, the abuse. Lee Zeldin, for instance, doing a great job there at the EPA, cutting literally by the tens of billions of dollars in grants that are going out. And so, you know, you have outstanding issues like tariffs, which will play themselves out. But Annie, I still think the biggest story of the year will be the reconciliation package. The president, the Republicans have to get reconciliation passed. That's the big one.
Mm. Well, in this book that you have coming out, and you have been very eager to expose.
Oh, but Annie,
yes?
I can't talk about that too much. That's out there. I don't know how you got it, but I haven't even unveiled that thing yet, but yeah, it's coming July 1st.
Okay.
So, yes.
Well, we won't go too far into that, but I do want to know how Donald Trump's approach compared to the Biden administration's approach, and Democrats and Republicans alike, but Trump does things a little bit different than just, you know, the straight rip and read Republican way of doing things. He's kind of got his own flavor.
Yeah.
It seems as though Donald Trump's America First mentality has certainly been that of giving American government back to the people. And I still hear from the Democrats, the Bernie Sanders and the AOCs, who seem to be the leaders of the left right now. I feel like what they're saying is you need government and we are here to protect government. And Donald Trump kind of says we're here to protect you from the government. Is there a swamp? Is there a real swamp out there that needs to be dismantled?
Yeah, and I think it is that simple. I mean, look, Democrat numbers are an all-time low because I think they've really exposed their exposed who they are, what they believe in, and what they fight for. I mean, they're fighting like crazy for an MS, you know, the allegation is an MS-13 gang member to be brought back into the United States of America. That shows their true stripes. Donald Trump represents, you're right, America first. We're going to put the needs of the country first. We make no apologies about it. And that drives a lot of people crazy because a lot of Democrats are these globalists and they're much more concerned about what Europe thinks of us than, you know, what somebody in St. Louis or Kansas City or Phoenix thinks about us. And making sure that our economy and our workers, you know, when we talk about tariffs and whatnot, remember, if you make things in the United States, there are no tariffs. It's zero. So the idea that we got to get our trade rebalanced out, that we've got to get people back to work, that we got to have manufacturing in this country, that we're not so dependent on other countries, That's what Donald Trump campaigned on and quite frankly got a mandate to do.
Yeah, it's clear. He was very forward with the American people during his campaign, saying, here are the problems and this is how I'm going to solve them. I see all the time on X and other social media platforms where it says, you know, people are like, is this what you voted for? And everyone's like, this is exactly what I voted for. And for him to be able to get this much done in 100 days is really incredibly impressive. You were talking about the reconciliation and the necessity to get that taken care of. Is it possible to get a big, beautiful bill done when you have such a slim majority in the House of Representatives?
I don't know. That's going to be a tough one. I'm still skeptical. The only person I think that can pull it off is Donald Trump. And look, if you're a Republican and you rode that wave of Republicanism and that surge of patriotism right to the finish line, I think you got to follow through with the president on this one. You know, I hear this chatter about tax increases, and I just think if you're in favor of tax increases, you're in the wrong party. Okay, we're just not doing that. That's not what Republicans, conservatives, that's not how to grow the economy, grow business, support small businesses. That's just not where we should be. But that reconciliation is an extension of tax cuts. There's going to be some other gyrations out there, but I hate it when people say, oh no, I gotta have my own way. Being in the legislative branch is a team sport. It's not, you can't go off all on your own, all by yourself. That's not the way our founders set this thing up.
Yeah. You know, I think when a lot of people hate the word compromise, people look at the Democrats when they have power and feel like the Democrats don't have holdouts. They move as a singular unit.
That's right.
I suspect that they do have those arguments. They're better at keeping them behind closed doors. And you've got the Thomas Massie contingent in the House, Rand Paul in the Senate. They kind of have the same approach to their libertarianism when it comes to the economy. Should those people consider compromising their principles in a vote like this in order to actually make progress that might be the whole of what they want, but a good portion of it?
I don't think anybody wants them to sacrifice their principles, but it comes to a choice. You can continue to do what we have done, really, quite frankly, for decades, which is a continuing resolution or an omnibus, which means, hey, we're going to continue with the status quo, or we can do this. And that's the choice that those people are going to have to make. And I think then it becomes much clearer. If they want to form their own government and want to have their own ways with their own policies, then, you know, maybe they should run for president. But, you know, they won't have enough people. And so that's the choice. Do you do what the Democrats want, the status quo, or do you do what Donald Trump is suggesting, which I think is what America is really after?
Well, the website is jasoninthehouse.com. People can connect with you and check out your podcast and always listen to what you have coming next. And I think that it's important to understand you have such an important view into how this structure works. I think we say as voters in our small constituencies, the districts that are represented in the House of Representatives, so small compared to like what the Senate has to deal with, that people do feel like just do what Donald Trump campaigned and won the national election there. They want to see the House of Representatives, the Republicans at least, respond accordingly. But it just seems like it's a much more complicated process than most Americans understand.
Let's try it. Donald Trump had a mandate. Let's try what he wants to do. And then see where the country is, because I'm convinced we'll be much, much better off.
Yeah, it's very transformative for sure. All right. Jason Chaffetz, thank you for the time today. We appreciate you. We look forward to having you back again soon.
Thanks, Annie. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
JasonInTheHouse.com. You can check out his podcast there as well, on X at Jason in the House, a Fox News contributor and author, former chairman of the House Oversight Committee as well. At 1:25, we're going to have Chairman Jason Smith. He's, of course, Missouri's 8th District Representative. He is the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. And we're going to talk to him about several things. First and foremost, that big, beautiful bill that we are constantly looking towards getting done and getting completed. You know, I asked Jason there, is it possible to do that with such a slim majority? And he said it's going to be hard, which means what I'm hearing him say is maybe not. Maybe it's not going to come to completion. But we're going to ask Jason Smith what he thinks about that. But he just took a trip to El Salvador, visited some prisons in El Salvador, and he's got some interesting short stories that we want to share with you. Very, very apropos to the moment in time while we're in a weird tug of war between Republicans and Democrats over Obrego Garcia, who looks like he walked out of a Kohl's ad in that margarita meeting with Senator Van Hollen. I'm annoyed by the Kansas City Chiefs hat. It bothers me.
As a Midwesterner.
Yes, as a Midwesterner. I mean, generally as an American, but like, you're going to wear a plaid button off short sleeve shirt and a Kansas City Chiefs hat, Mr. Obrego Garcia, member of MS-13.
They forgot to give him cargo shorts, sandals, and
not sandals. Get them white New Balance
and like a grilling something to be grilling with. He should have just held that the whole
tongs
time.
Yeah, let's say tongs. No, it's like his spatula is his number one dad.
Yeah, with white socks or black socks and the sandals. Like, he should have just been like, oh gosh, I didn't even know you guys were coming over.
Yeah.
Come well, hey
in.
There,
Pull
Senator.
Up a chair. Why does he sound like he's from the North Midwest?
I don't know. Had to go with an accent. We don't have one, so.
Oh, man. Let's take a quick break. The YouTube live chat poll for today. Is Trump winning on tariffs? Yes or no? Now, I know a lot of you might say it's too soon to tell. But in my opinion, I don't know if you agree with this, if he's not losing on them right now, he's winning.
That's a fair assessment. That's not where I would have gone with it, but that's a fair assessment.
I think that you either feel like it's a total loss and it can't end positively. We are still in the midst of a process where Donald Trump has said it's going to be hard before it's good, but it's going to be worth it. So we need to know from you. Is Trump winning on tariffs? It's simple. Yes or no. No middle ground on today's YouTube live chat poll. Want to take phone calls on it?
Yeah.
Let's just do it from the beginning of the show here. If you want to join us and answer that question on the air with us, we'd love to talk to you. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. Is Trump winning on tariffs? Give us a call. Let us know. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Run into the altar
like a track star. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Our YouTube live chat poll for today is Trump winning on tariffs, yes or no? If you want to give us a call, 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. Let us know if you think that the president is winning or if it's a loss. You can call us and tell us what you think. I was saying before the break that I think that if you can't argue the case that it's a loss right now. I didn't say did he win. I said is he winning? And when you go back and you think about what the president has said, I mean, he was pretty clear. This isn't going to be a switch flip, right?
Yeah, he knows that this is a long game that he's playing here. I think that he knows fully what the short-term losses will be. So I don't think any of this is a surprise to Donald Trump.
No. And I think if it were a surprise, he would address it more.
Yeah.
Do something to change it.
Yeah.
We saw J.D. Vance, of course, he was at the Vatican over the weekend and met with the Pope, who passed away the next day. Now he is in India and he was giving a speech on tariffs.
As many of you are aware, both of our governments are hard at work on a trade agreement built on shared priorities, like creating new jobs, building durable supply chains, and achieving prosperity for our workers. In our meeting yesterday, Prime Minister Modi and I made very good progress on all of those points. And we are especially excited to formally announce that America and India have officially finalized the terms of reference for the trade negotiation. I think this is a vital step. Thank you. I believe this is a vital step toward realizing President Trump's and Prime Minister Modi's vision, because it sets a roadmap toward a final deal between our nations.
So the vice president in India talking about essentially the terms, the framework of a deal has been made, has been accomplished. And I think that's a good step. I kind of feel like there might be a domino effect. Like once you get some of the bigger countries out of the way, there are going to be other announcements that follow. So India would certainly be a big one. Of course, Japan is one that is very important. The Japanese have come out and said, you know what, we don't really understand what America is wanting here. We don't understand where the goalposts are. So that's what they've said. The American representatives have come back and said, don't believe everything you hear. Of course they did. So some of those negotiations spilling out into the open. But as soon as these deals start being done and being made, I think you're going to see very positive results in our economy and the markets. Right now, the Dow is up 1.73%. So it's a good day. It's up over 600 points. We'll see how it ends. It could be twice that. Could be half that. You never know. We wanted to ask you what you think about this question. Is Trump winning on tariffs, yes or no? You can call us at 314-241-9797. We've got a couple open lines if you want to grab one right now. We're going to get through phone calls in this segment. We're going to start here with Carl. Carl, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. Your thoughts on if Trump is winning on tariffs?
Hey, we got to be honest, guys. I know a lot of us think Trump can do no wrong. Whatever he does is going to be golden.
Carl, do you think Trump can do no wrong?
No.
Well, if you start this with a lot of us think Trump can do no wrong and you're not part of us, are you just implying that we think Trump can do no wrong?
No. A couple of my friends, I mean, I used to be a conservative Democrat. Now I'm a conservative independent.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to be honest. Right now, no. The answer is no. I think it's still too early. It's still just a few days in. So I think a few weeks in. But the number one person we need to deal with was China, and we haven't done that yet. I mean, 30% of everyday goods that we use as a normal average person comes from China. We don't even know it comes from China. I don't, but I'm starting to notice, and it does. So right now, I got to say no. We're not, but it's, again, a few more weeks, you can turn it right around. So, I do have to say one thing. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Annie.
Well, I was just going to say that I said going into the break and then coming back here that, in my opinion, since Donald Trump laid out that this was not going to be, you know, all puppy sunshine and rainbows throughout the process, it was going to be difficult at the beginning as they work through the trade deals. He said that in the joint address to Congress earlier, that it was going to be difficult. I said that I think that if he's not obviously losing, then I think that he's winning, because it still seems to be the plan that he said. This is still part of what he said was going to happen. It sounds to me like, and that's fine, that you think until he proves that he's winning, he's losing.
Right, but Andy, let's be honest. At first, he said...
I always try to be, Carl. I always try to be honest. Go ahead.
In the beginning, he said it's going to be great. Right from day one, it's going to be fine. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
He did say that. Then he changed and said, well, it's not going to be so great. It's not going to be so good in the beginning.
I don't think he changed it.
The answer changed, Annie. So if he...
I don't think... I think Donald Trump, if anything, he was asked about tariffs in every interview he was in, because it seemed kind of like it could be a bipartisan negative against him, that there were going to be Republicans, Democrats. Steve Moore is our expert economic guest on Mondays, and he has said on this show he doesn't like tariffs. So we know that there are people on both sides of the aisle that don't like the tariff thing. However, how many days do you think Donald Trump should get as a president in a second term? Hold on.
In a couple of weeks.
Carl, how many? You think that Donald Trump should be able to reshape the entire global trade atmosphere in how many days?
No, I don't think that at all. I'm just saying what he said in the beginning has changed from what he said recently. Okay, and that's just true. That's real.
I understand that you think that. I don't agree with that statement. We can have differing opinions on it, but that was not my interpretation that he was going to come in and snap his fingers and world trade would be different.
Oh, I felt that. I felt that he said that.
Did you think that, Ryan?
So the difference between what he was saying in the campaign and now, I don't think it was a wide difference. I think there's a difference in tone. Like, it was a lot more positive during the campaign, and now he's like, yeah, it's the same words, but he's like, but it's going to take some time.
In the campaign, he was selling the results, and now he's going to sell the process to still get the same results.
Yes. I agree with that.
Fair.
Can I say one thing, though, before I get cut off? Thanks. Ryan, if you want, I got to call you out on this.
You got the rest of the show, Carl. You just take it from here.
No. I listen to you guys every single day, as a person that is not a Republican, but I appreciate your opinions. And Ryan, I want to say this too. When you were by yourself a week ago, I loved your show when Annie was gone.
Aww.
I thought it was great. It was a great show.
I really agree that we should just keep this going.
I really thought it was a great show. I'm like, well, I can't wait till he gets his own show. He's going to be great. He's going to be awesome.
He's got one on the weekend.
I do have a show, yeah. Yeah, tune in on Saturday mornings at 7.
Well, no, I have kids. That's not going to happen.
We all understand that.
I get that too.
So, but Ryan, after saying that, I got to call you on this. You said during the campaign, he goes, yeah, they're going to make some cuts. We probably won't even notice what the cuts are. They're just going to be there. We notice. We're noticing.
What do you notice, Carl? What did you notice?
Two of my friends that worked for the Veterans Department were fired. I've noticed that.
My understanding, though, Carl, and this is speaking from the person who chairs the Veterans Affairs Committee in Congress, is that it's like a 0.5% of workforce that has been...
It's noticeable. Let me address, I
understand what you're saying. You're saying people's jobs have been lost. They're, of course, feeling that. My context for saying that is very much, does the average citizen notice their services have changed? That was the context of what I was saying. And I think I stand by that and say, I don't think by the end of this 4 years, the average American is going to notice their services have changed for the worse at all.
We'll see. Honestly, I can't argue that point because we don't know what's going to happen. But I will say this. It's a lot at one time. You know, when you hear the rhetoric of closing down the CDC, closing down the IRS, closing down the Education Department, doing all these other things, all at once, it just seems like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's not, but it feels and seems like there's a lot. But why can't we do these in steps?
Carl,
why
I think it is a lot. I think it's a ton, and I think he did it all at once so that we could have this hold our breath under the water, and in his mind and in his commitment to the American people, we come back up and things are fresh and new. So it's a rip the Band-Aid off thing. But, you know, maybe it won't all be great. We'll have to wait and see, won't we?
Yep, you guys are great. I appreciate your show, and I'll keep listening. And Ryan, you're still good in my book, brother.
Good. I'll lose you at some point, I'm sure. But
Carl, thank you. We appreciate you. Great call. Tom, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. If you want to tell us what you think about Trump winning on tariffs, yes or no? How's he doing?
Well, number one, I think it's too early to tell. But number two, it's something he absolutely has to do, because free trade is something we simply cannot have. With the European VAT essentially being about a 30% tariff as it is, I think we need to have our own VAT or tariff or whatever. And starting at 10%, so we don't upset the markets right away, 10% this year I think would be great. Maybe 15% next year and 20% the following year, and maybe get up to 30% for everything, for everybody. I think it'd be a great idea.
Well, I appreciate the call, Tom. Thanks for reaching out to us. 314-241-9797 if you want to hurry up and get in line to have this conversation. You can also vote on our YouTube poll. If you go to YouTube on your phone, on the app on your phone, you can just type in Annie Fry. You'll see we're broadcasting live right now on your computer or on your smart screen, smart TV. You can also type in Annie Fry in YouTube, and we'll be broadcasting live. You can see it there. Hello to everybody who's watching. And in the live chat portion, so there's a comment section. You can be a part of a live conversation that takes place every day during the show. It's always very lively. We've got people of all stripes that participate in it, and we'd love to have you. And you can tell us if Trump is winning on tariffs, yes or no. Brad, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, you know, the important distinction that you have made already is that winning is not the same as has won. And I think you make a really good point whenever you say that if he isn't blatantly losing on tariffs. So whenever I think of what would cause him to be blatantly losing on tariffs would be things like different countries running into the arms of China, or they just come back with more reciprocal tariffs and more reciprocal tariffs until, you know, everything is too expensive for anything. I'm not seeing that happen. I'm seeing countries saying, hey, yeah, we're open to deals. I'm seeing countries that are willing to go back and forth and try to get a good deal for their countries with the United States. I think that that is winning. I think renegotiating deals and trying to get a more fair market for businesses that are American is a good thing. So I would say, yes, he is winning on tariffs.
Do you think Donald Trump's having fun?
Oh,
do you think he's enjoying this moment right now? While yes. We're all on the edge of our seat going, is he like, this is the best?
This is built for Donald Trump's. This is in his bones what's happening right now. This is the fulfillment of a lifetime of talk. He's actually doing the things he's always said.
You know, a lot of people are talking about recession being upon us. Here's a CNBC clip here real quick about are we headed to a recession?
You don't think we're headed into a recession in your plans at this point?
You know, there's no signs that we see at this point that we're in or close to a recession. There are signs that growth may be slowing. And again, we have to always be prepared for that. But ours is a long cycle business. The capital we put to work in our business isn't there for just a few years. It's typically there for decades. So we really have to take a longer view and not get buffeted too much by short-term market movement.
I think it's interesting to look at, like, money people talk about this. I've been paying a lot of attention to Fox Business and CNBC lately because money people handle all of this stuff so differently than the neuroticism of the political world.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like, it's just a good anchor point.
It's like listening to somebody talk about the White House versus talking to somebody who's in the White House.
Yeah. They're both entertaining. And I prefer, like, three parts politics, one part sedative. All right, let's get to Derek. Derek, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. Is Trump winning on tariffs, yes or no? What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think some things are going to change, though, especially if, like, the board game, like, you know, circle of, like, comic books and all. I think you're going to start seeing a lot of this stuff dropship. I mean, you consider, like, the distributors, the middlemen and all that. It's just going to be behooving for us to start buying that stuff at a, you know, directly from the source instead of through a middleman, through another middleman, through distributor, and finally at the comic book shop. I think you're going to see all that cut out just to not get the raises and the price increases from that. So I think you're going to see a lot of that, too.
Streamline. Yeah, I appreciate the call, Derek. Thank you. Let's do one more before we go to a break. Yeah, Andy, thank you for... turn down your radio, Andy. He's going to hear in a second.
Well, you made a great point. We might as well listen to it again.
Yeah, Derek. Andy, are you with us?
Increases from that. So I think you're going to see a lot of that, too.
He's still listening.
Yeah. I appreciate the call.
Here comes.
Thank you.
Andy.
Let's do one more before.
Let's hear Andy. Hear Andy.
Yeah. Andy, turn down your radio. Talk to us on the radio. It's going to be like Facebook.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Hey! Yay!
Hey, Andy. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Is Trump winning on tariffs? Yes or no? What do you think, Andy?
Absolutely. I think the previous guy might have taken one of my points, but I look at it this way. When we haven't done anything to even the playing field or to match the tariffs being charged against us, if he gets any movement at all, it's a win. It's a 100% win.
Yeah.
So I think we're looking at this all upside down. We're looking for some, like, you know, 80% cut in our cost or whatever. If you take our combined income, our GDP, and he's able to negotiate, let's just use a low number, like 5% to 10% reduction on our cost across the board. We're talking hundreds of billions of dollars.
And yeah.
So I don't see how you cannot say it's a huge win if we have any success at all. It's 100% more than we had before him.
Yeah. With a president who has the guts to do it and to lead America
absolutely.
First. Andy,
absolutely.
Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. Thanks for calling in as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, we have to get to a break. Sorry to the people that we did not get to. We might take phone calls later in the show as well if time allows. So put this number in your phone. So the next time that you hear that we're going to take phone calls, we're trying to do this a little bit more often, 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. Just put it in there and just put Annie Fry Show in there, and then you can call us. When we say we're going to take calls, you'll have the number all ready to go.
That this is an interesting topic because all four of those callers had different points and they were all pretty good points.
Mm-hmm. And they're not sycophantic.
No, not at all. And Andy's in particular at the end there is one that I hadn't really even approached this question from, which is, well, if you start from zero and you gain anything, that's
a win.
So, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's a good point.
Which is true.
Yeah.
A win is a win.
All right, let's take a quick break. Wiggins America next. The seven most shameless attention seekers in Congress, according to...
Politico,
not you.
Not me.
We're going to judge Politico.
We are.
When we come back. All right, stick around. Go vote in the YouTube live chat poll. If you want to get in on this question, maybe you didn't want to call in, you can leave a comment. You got to subscribe. You got to wait 5 minutes before you can comment. That's just to make sure that you're committed to it and you're not there to troll us. Russell says, that's an old comment. Joe says yes, with the caveat that he did not expect the extended pushback from nations that makes no sense, self-destructive, see China. And Ender said, as of right now, no, part of it is his own fault, sure, but as a society, we are so averse to any pain whatsoever, and politicians are more than happy to wield that aversion for political gain. That's for sure. All right, Wiggins America next. Don't go away.
Wiggins! I've got the seven most shameless attention seekers in Congress here.
Should we guess them?
Well, you can. Yeah, if
well,
you want
to
start.
Well, we don't have to. How would you like? This is your segment. This is,
I would like
should,
to just
you know
read
what, Ryan,
a couple to you.
You should have your own show.
And then see. I'm not getting up at seven.
I want Ryan and Carl to have their own show together.
That'd be fine. Carl, no way. He's not coming in, though. It's too early. He said so.
Neither are you. Anywho.
All right. These are the seven most shameless attention seekers in Congress. The first one, and this is bipartisan. Politico is looking at both sides
of
the aisle.
Is number one the most? Is there any order to these?
I don't know that there's an order. I think actually it's almost like it rises. Like these are the newer ones, and then you get to the ones that have always been that way.
I'm writing down my...
Yeah, go ahead. Write down your list and see if it matches.
Does it say, like, this is from Politico, does it say, like, what attention-seeking...
Not really.
And when was it dated?
No, just, I think this was yesterday.
Fresh.
Very fresh. 4/21, that was yesterday. All right, the first one, and this is what really caught my attention was this first one. Senator Chris Murphy, the Democrat leader, wannabe leader of the hashtag resistance award is what Politico gave him, turned himself into the Senate's answer to Mr. Beast.
So this is Congress. This isn't just the House.
This is entire Congress.
It changes my list.
He appears anywhere and everywhere to feed the algorithms, it says Politico. He has done YouTube interviews with political personalities, appeared on influencers' podcasts and TikToks, and of course, he recently made himself the center of attention by going down to El Salvador strictly to meet with and sympathize with the MS-13 gang
member. Chris Murphy?
Senator Chris Murphy. Oh, that wasn't him, was it?
No, that was Ben Holland.
I added that because I was thinking that was him.
I was going to say, I don't trust anything in this article.
No, don't
it's Chris
trust
Van
that.
Holland.
Don't trust that. That is Chris Van Holland, not Chris Murphy.
Wrong Chris.
Yeah, wrong Chris. So this guy is everywhere, Chris Murphy of Connecticut. His social media followings have skyrocketed recently because he is the self-professed leader of the hashtag resistance.
It's the most annoying thing. If a congressperson can get one interviewer to ask him, are you considering a run for president in 2028? All it takes is one. And then everyone else is like, gotta ask that question, gotta ask that question, gotta pin him down. For these congress people to go interview to interview and be like, they get to ask that question and they're like, I'm committed to the constituents of my district in the state of Illinois, and I want what's best for them, and I want to protect the Constitution, and I will fight every day that I come to work in order to protect that for them. And then they don't say anything about it, and they're like, but are you going to run for president? And they're like, oh, we're not. I'm not. Right now, I'm focused on my... Right now, I'm focused on my district.
Which is what you have to say.
But I know. But, like, can we just... plug in, can we know that that's, you're going to ask that question, you're going to say this, and not ask it? But the money comes
no,
in.
No, you have to ask it, and you have to answer that.
I don't think you have to ask it. And not a flipping Chris Murphy.
As a constituent, when you hear that, do you say, oh, good? Or do you think, no, this is just what he's supposed to say, or she's supposed to say?
Second.
The next one is, see if this person's on your list, Senator Ted Cruz.
Yes.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
The award that Politico gave him, most obsessed with his own podcast award.
Yeah. I have 9 people on my list, but the first one was, I was just thinking House.
It says, Senator Ted Cruz represents more than 31 million Texans, but he spends much of his time focused on his real audience, the fans of his podcast.
I think that Ted Cruz is way too smart for normal people. From a likability standpoint... Like, I think he could be a Supreme Court justice, and I would be happy for a very long time. I think he is incredibly smart, but when you listen to him, you're like, yeah, he's smarter than me, and I think he knows it, and they shouldn't be ashamed of it, but it's just not like, I'm trying to think of a...
You should be ashamed of yourself,
I'm trying
sir.
To think of a dumber congressperson that I could say, unlike this person...
Well, wait until the next one.
Well, I don't want to insult anybody. I just think he's like super smart, and he just has lived a life that we haven't because of it.
Yeah.
AOC.
I don't have a problem with him doing any congressperson or elected official doing a podcast.
No, I think they all should have one.
Talking to people more is great.
Yeah.
But if that's all you're doing, you know, I mean, he definitely does love that podcast. All right. The next one is Representative Jasmine Crockett, the most likely to mug for the C-SPAN cameras award. According to Politico,
she hasn't done anything.
Members of Congress routinely make inflammatory statements in congressional hearings to gain attention and cable news hits, but Texas Democrat Representative Jasmine Crockett has managed to become a perpetual content machine, basically just through these congressional hearings.
Oh, okay,
that's what it says.
I wonder the exposure rate, Democrat voters to Republican voters. Who is she? Who is more exposed to Jasmine Crockett? I bet it's Republicans.
It reminds you of The View. You're like, is anybody actually watching this, or does this exist for clips?
Yeah, they talk about like how all these extreme opinions from the Democratic Party are coming from like the minority of the Democratic Party, the loud of them. I feel like Jasmine Crockett is the loud. Like that's what she is in within that party.
She's good at doing that, but then she's getting called out by Politico for being like, that's pretty much what you do, though.
But, like, that's what, I feel like that's what she's going for, too. She's trying to get those clicks from people, and, I mean, the Republican Party is giving it to her, because it makes them so mad.
I doubt this person is on anybody's list, because I don't actually really recognize the name. Representative Tim Burchett?
Oh, yeah.
Burchett, yeah.
Burchett?
Yeah, from Tennessee.
Republican from Tennessee? I don't know him.
Burchett.
He will give a quote to a Network News, MAGA podcast.
Brad, what's his social security number?
Any random journalist wandering the halls of Congress. He's not just voluble, he's colorful and folksy, which means that reporters are usually happy to use his takes.
He's the one who just said... He was walking in the Capitol Hill and he told that he asked some snotty reporter who was a lefty who was walking next to him, who's like, does your mom still warm up your hot pockets?
Oh, that was that guy. Yeah. I did see that. Yes.
That guy.
The guy that was just following him around with
him. Honestly, if you're walking to your job and you're walking, and I've been to the Capitol. I see where the offices are and the path that these Congress people have to walk to get into if they don't take the tunnels and stuff. And if you're walking from point A to point B and some snotty reporter comes up and starts asking you annoying questions and you say something about your mom warming up your Hot Pockets, that's not really attention seeking, you know? Like he's going to and from and he's just funny.
I thought the same thing when I saw that. I'm like, well, he's not trying to get attention. There's people with camera on him. And he says that to that kid, basically, he's very young. He's like, look, you're the person assigned to me, basically, to throw landmines down in front of him every single day.
His tracker.
I wish I could come up with comebacks that quickly. I mean, that was on the spot.
Yeah. He had to be ready.
I guess so.
Apparently that kid.
I bet that's not the first time he said that.
Exactly. Senator Mark Warner, most likely to never miss a cocktail party. This is an insider DC thing. Mm-hmm.
That sounds like they wrote the article to air that.
Yeah, they have a problem with him. He snubbed their party.
Apparently, or maybe he made a scene.
He never misses a cocktail party except for the Politico one.
Mark's reading this list going, oh, yeah, that's a good...
Me? Why am I? Well, I'm not going to your party.
Democrat from Virginia still makes plenty of time to visit endangered Washington habitats like the cocktail party. This does feel a little personal.
Yeah, it feels super personal.
Before we run out of time, let's get to the last two. The main one here, they kind of build to this one. They say the Lifetime Achievement Award for attention-seeking congresspeople goes to Lindsey Graham.
AOC and MTG are not on this list.
I thought the same thing.
They're the same.
How could those two not be on here? Yeah. The Lifetime Achievement Award goes to Lindsey Graham for he's been thirsty for a generation.
<It says. laughs> Go hang out with Mark Warner.
Now, because it's Politico, they also toss in J.D. Vance. He doesn't actually reside in Congress anymore, but he's the president
of the Senate. He's not attention seeking.
I didn't think so either.
He's kind of like Forrest Gump in that things keep happening to him and he keeps finding himself in wild places, like the vice presidency.
Yeah, right.
Good for him. We're better for it, of course. In the next hour, Jim Carafano joins us and Chairman Jason Smith, Missouri's 8th District Representative. Let's talk about that big, beautiful bill. Go vote in the YouTube poll. Is Trump winning on tariffs? We'll be right back.